The Tom Woods Show, episode 1706.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Well, I'd say now's a pretty good time to find out how to monetize a website. Get a few smackers coming in on the side that the jerks can't shut down on you. I made you an over-the-shoulder video showing you exactly how I do it, and you can watch it at tomwoods.com/monetize. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Well, talking about current events, and what event is more current than the virus and the threatened further lockdowns? So I want to just review some relevant items and go from there. Let me start off by mentioning that a YouTube video whose audio I used for a recent episode of this show, namely the one called The Fact-Free Lockdown Hysteria, has now had well in excess of 200,000 views on YouTube, which is not too shabby. So pass that one around. There's been so much that's happened just since that video that I wish I could add another 20 minutes of commentary to it. But as it stands, it's still a pretty good summary of where things are and where we've been. I thought to talk about this today because of an item I saw in, of all places, the New York Times. I just saw it linked by somebody. And that item is not going to be the subject of the whole episode, but it's what got me thinking I should talk a little bit about this topic again. Because what it said was this, that as a direct result of the lockdowns and the shifting in health resources and the reluctance of people to go to the hospital and all this other stuff, because of the panic that's been induced in them. I mean, if you're going to shut society down like this, that's going to induce panic because nothing like that has ever happened. And in fact, by the way, I'm going on a little bit of a tangent here, but the CDC itself in February 2007 issued a paper on non-pharmaceutical interventions, and it was 108 pages long and talked about all the many ways you could reduce transmission of a virus. And they came up with things like voluntary isolation of ill adults and reducing density in public transit. And they included in that paper a pandemic severity index ranging from 1 to 5. 1 would be an ordinary flu season, and category 5 would kill at least 1.8 million Americans, so on the order of the Spanish flu. Now, what's interesting is that even when it got to category 5, even then, they were not even mentioning the idea of closing all stores and offices. Alex Berenson points this out in his new little ebook on Amazon. Even then, they weren't contemplating that. Just interesting. So when that sort of thing that wasn't even being contemplated by the CDC itself is just implemented as a matter of course all over the place, well, that's going to make people panic and be irrational and do things they shouldn't do, and maybe they should risk it for the sake of their health, but they don't want to go to the hospital because things must be, if they're that bad to close everything down, people assume they're worse than they really are, and they make decisions accordingly. So what this article pointed out was that we can expect an additional 1.4 million deaths from tuberculosis than would have occurred otherwise, an additional 500,000 deaths from HIV than would have occurred otherwise, and an additional 385,000 deaths from malaria. So we can now add this to the other things that I mentioned in the previous episode and in the video that I just mentioned, showing all the collateral damage that's done, the wreckage that we are leaving everywhere. And I shouldn't say we. You and I have nothing to do with this. The people with the clipboards who rule over us, we get told by those people and by their lackeys around the country that if we disagree with them, we just don't care about saving lives. But as you can see, even just on this very surface level of direct deaths caused as a result of the lockdowns, like you don't even have to speculate on, well, maybe some people might commit suicide more than they would otherwise. Probably, but it's hard to measure that kind of thing. This is not hard to measure, and this is much more direct and obvious what's causing it. You add these together, and it is a disaster. Little by little, sensible voices are being heard. In the UK, there's a professor, Robert Dingwall, who has a column in, well, now I can't remember. It's one of the mainstream British newspapers that we all read online all the time. And he said basically this: let's have a sense of proportion. In the past 5 weeks, all-cause deaths are below average. 80% of COVID fatalities already had life-limiting conditions. Attempting zero COVID may eradicate business, learning, leisure, travel, and privacy. Health is not the only purpose in life. People need to determine well-being for themselves. And for most, it's not huddling at home alone with their faces covered, frightened into compliance with the agenda of a narrow medical elite. Good. Good. We need more people talking like that. Let's talk about the United States. Let's talk about the Sun Belt. And we'll talk about Florida, Texas, and Arizona for a minute. I was seeing on Twitter from people who were considered to be at least semi-reasonable voices, all kinds of grotesque predictions as to what was going to happen. Paul Krugman called it, you know, some kind of like unimaginable catastrophe or whatever. He used crazy language. And there were modest spikes in these places. And they did temporarily put the hospital systems, in some cases, under some strain, although even that was exaggerated. But it didn't come anywhere near approaching what we saw in New York. And yet, I was reading over and over again, we're going to get dozens of New Yorks around the country, hundreds of thousands of additional deaths by the end of August. I was seeing that all over social media. Nothing like that happened. Those few states have approximately tripled the population of New York, and yet they had at most 500 or so peak daily deaths, whereas New York had double that with one-third the population. New York had 18,000 peak hospitalizations, and with three times the population, those other states had 23,000 peak hospitalizations, and they're already coming back down. In Arizona, just between July 13th and August 3rd, which is just a few days ago, hospitalizations fell almost 50%. And then in Texas, they fell 20% just in the two-week period from July 22nd to August 3rd. These drops in hospitalizations occurred even though these states did not reimpose lockdowns. They did, in a couple of cases, introduce a few restrictions, like they closed bars here in my state of Florida. Texas postponed elective surgeries. But there were no, and I guess Arizona did close bars also and gyms. But that's hardly a lockdown. I mean, I'll tell you what a lockdown is in a minute, because we'll get to Melbourne, Australia, what's going on over there. Texas required masks in most places, but there were no mask mandates in Arizona and Florida. And it came right back down. Now, let's say a few things about some other countries. Japan comes up a lot. Boy, have the doomers jumped all over the place with Japan. They have not known what to do with Japan. So at this point, they ignore it. They just ignore Japan. They spend all their time bashing Sweden, but they ignore Japan. So as you know from the more recent episode that I did, the initial claim was that Japan was doing very badly, but they just weren't reporting the numbers because they didn't want to jeopardize the Olympics. And then it turned out Japan basically did fine, even though the media was warning that there'd be deaths all over the place. Japan did absolutely fine. I mean, no problems. Like some kind of crazy statistic, like about 1% of the death rate of Britain. That's just that's so ridiculous that it makes you think something is just off about our understanding of this virus. There's no way you can account for a difference of, you know, that scope. That is staggering. Now, of course, if Japan had locked down hard, and yeah, they had some restrictions like every place, but if they had locked down hard and gotten these results, you can guarantee we'd never hear the end of it. But they didn't, so they're just ignored. So then the explanation was, well, the Japanese people practice hygiene very scrupulously, but, you know, as I pointed out, that doesn't work because you knew that when you were predicting they were all going to die. So if that wasn't enough to save them then, why is it enough to save them now, right? So that obviously doesn't work. Then the argument was they wore masks. And the other day on Twitter, you should follow me on Twitter, by the way, Thomas E. Woods. There was somebody, a doctor, who tweeted, you know, the reason Japan did so well, this was late May. Reason they did so well, no mystery, masks. And he says the government distributed 50 million masks to the public. And that just goes to show, you know, blah, 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 you know, responsible people and all that. So, of course, it was implicitly a lecture to all of us because we're too stupid and backward to understand what we should be doing. Well, okay, a couple problems with this explanation. Number one, the masks that were, first of all, they're disposable. You can use them once, right? So distributing 50 million masks accomplishes essentially nothing. But not to mention, they were made of some weird material, flimsy. They were child size, so they were unusable for most adults. They arrived too late. Everybody ridiculed these masks. Nobody wore them. And yet there's somebody on Twitter who thinks he's entitled to an opinion lecturing us about the Japanese masks distributed by the government, as if none of that happened. But then the other problem with attributing it to masks is that now you have to explain why there's a very substantial rise in cases in Japan. Now, Japan will be fine. You know, these rises in cases are largely coming about because the Japanese did not test very much. If you're sick, we'll come in, you can come in, we'll test you. But they didn't panic their population by demanding random testing of arbitrary people all day long and then gasping at the case rise. They just decided not to do that. And that seems to be the case in a number of countries where they just decided, well, one way to keep the caseload down is just not to test. You know, test when people seem sick and then move on. But it's just meaningless to get these giant numbers that turn out not to mean anything. It depends on who has it, not how many people have it. If a bunch of 10-year-olds have it, that is completely meaningless. That just skews our decision-making. If it hits a nursing home, that's another matter. If the Japanese wore masks, if that's the explanation for why things went so well, then why are they having an outbreak right now? Right? How can the mask people claim both things at once? So, of course, again, they just ignore Japan. That's the answer. They ignore it. And yet you would think Japan should be particularly vulnerable, right? Because it has close ties to China. It doesn't even have a Center for Disease Control. It doesn't have anything like that. It has a very elderly population. This should have been a disaster. And then, as Berenson points out, it's poor performance quarantining the ill-fated Diamond Princess cruise ship back in February suggested that, you know, its authorities lacked basic infection control awareness. And yet, you have this result. Again, reaffirming my point that this virus does not act in a way that you can summarize in a tweet. It doesn't. It does not do what you think it's going to do. When you confidently predict that there will be this many millions of deaths, you're going to have egg on your face. Now, I mentioned Sweden a minute ago. Sweden has to be discussed in this context because they did not officially lock down. They did make recommendations to the public, but you can see just through photographic evidence of what life in Stockholm looked like. It was normal, and people were walking around enjoying their lives. And we get told, oh, they had a high death rate and blah, blah, blah. Okay, we were told that by the beginning of June, there'd be 96,000 deaths in Sweden if they didn't get their act together and lock down. That was the Ferguson model. There were 4,000 deaths. So you divide 96,000 by 4 and you see what factor that particular piece of panic was off by. They did have higher death rates than other Scandinavian countries, although lower than the very heavily locked down Britain and Italy. And it's worth looking into that. What was going on? Is there more to this story? Sweden is a country of 10 million people. The number of people under age 50 who have died from COVID-19 is 70. So it's true, Sweden does not yet have a cure for being 85. They haven't developed that. And their high death rates have to do very, very substantially, and according to Berenson, almost entirely by the fact that not only did they fail to secure the nursing homes, but as he puts it, in some cases, actually discouraged physicians from offering care to the extremely elderly. So we read in the Wall Street Journal, coronavirus is taking a high toll on Sweden's elderly. Families blame the government. And they detail cases in which older patients had been refused hospitalizations. Almost 2/3 of the deaths have occurred in people age 80 or over, almost 90% in people 70 or over. But the pattern is still the same. You have a big early spike, and then it slowly tapers off. I mean, you can look, the graphs all look the same, that exact shape, sudden and then gradual tapering off. So does that indicate lockdowns are super effective, or rather that you should do more to protect nursing homes? Now, there are various explanations provided for this. I mean, one is that it looks like transmission really occurs in the home from people living on a long-term basis with other people. And the more you confine people in that space, the bigger the problem is. That's a separate issue that maybe I might cover at another time. My point is simply that Japan should not look the way it has looked if you need lockdowns to cope with this. Neither should Sweden. And Sweden should not just, again, obviously they had a problem with the elderly population. But society basically went on and people's lives weren't ruined. But they shouldn't just be somewhat worse than their neighbors. They should be 1,000 times worse if this thing justified these kinds of invasive measures taken that disrupted everybody's lives. My point is simply that you cannot sum up the behavior of the virus in a tweet. You can't. There are too many strange anomalies. Why did this country do better than that one when that one locked down heavily and this one didn't? Like Brazil, for example. You look at Brazil. We're supposed to hate Brazil because they haven't had a lockdown. And yet, when I look at Peru, which I don't know, is probably not a million times different from Brazil. I mean, maybe, who knows? But Peru had a heavy lockdown, and they have more deaths per million than Brazil does. Now, if it were reversed, of course, that would be blamed on the lack of lockdown. We're told masks are the solution. Now, I don't rule out the possibility that a mask could do some good. And I get people angry at me for saying that, but I'm not going to venture into an area that I know nothing about. I don't know anything about that. I know there are competing studies. It doesn't matter. The point is, that doesn't work as an explanation, because in Hawaii, Hawaii's 2,000 miles away from its closest neighbor. It's as isolated as can be. They've been wearing masks religiously, and in the past 30 days, they've seen their case numbers increase by 700%. Now, if they hadn't been wearing masks, that increase would have been blamed on the lack of masks. But when it's happening to a population that wears masks religiously, it's just ignored. There's no commentary about it, no curiosity, nothing, because it disrupts the cartoon version of the virus. That Americans are too irresponsible and they won't wear masks because they're stupid individualists and the collectivists in Europe are doing a better job because they're wearing... Well, Scandinavians are not wearing masks, basically. Basically, none of them. The Asian immigrant population wears masks, but otherwise they don't. And they're down to borderline zero deaths in Scandinavia. Not to mention the Philippines also having a major spike. They were among the most heavy mask wearers in the world. Now, if they hadn't been wearing masks and they had this spike, the spike would have been blamed on the lack of masks. So you see how they have to have it be cartoonish. And then when a country doesn't fit into the cartoon, it's just not mentioned, or at least the lack of, at least the mask issue is just brushed over. Meanwhile, let me read to you what's going on in Melbourne, Australia. I don't know what to say here, other than I'm sorry to you, the decent people who live in Australia, about what's happening here. They're in stage 4 lockdown in Melbourne because of a, you know, meaningless rise in so-called cases. Here's what it amounts to. The restrictions on business, good luck navigating those. Here's the basic gist of it. You got to stay within a 5-kilometer radius of your home. Only one person from your home is allowed to shop per day. People are going to come to your house, by the way. They've been visiting thousands of homes to make sure you're staying home. You can have daily exercise for an hour a day. And you can be in groups as long as the groups don't have more than 2 people in them. Recreational activity is not allowed. There's a curfew beginning at 8 p.m. This is going to go on for 6 weeks. And if they don't get the results they want, they're going to go to stage 5 lockdown. So the lockdowns, it's like Keynesian stimulus. It never occurs to them that maybe this itself is not helping. It's always we haven't done enough of it. Stage 5 lockdown is borderline prison. If this isn't already, it's basically prison. At some point, we need to grow up enough to say this virus is going to get some people. It's going to make some people sick, and some people are going to die of it. But it has its way with people and societies. And try as we might to make ourselves think we're solving the problem, we're not. It's as somebody I follow on Twitter put it, it's like people who think rain dances make it rain. It really is like that. The virus does what it will, no matter what. If you look at, I put in my email newsletter, which you should be on that newsletter list, of course, as I send out great stuff. Wrongaboutlockdown.com is an easy way to get on my list. And I sent out a chart showing mobility data in Massachusetts and hospitalization data. And the hospitalization data starts to come down. The mobility data goes way, way, way up. Now, remember people who say, oh, lockdowns, and when you reopen, you're going to have all kinds of problems. But, okay, people were moving around like crazy in Massachusetts, and goes right down. And in fact, even in those Sunbelt states where there were some issues, that occurred somewhere between 5 and 8 weeks after they opened. It had been fine. And there are multiple explanations for why there might have been spikes in those states. But of course, for the control freaks, it has to be because we let you people out of your houses. And this is why, it seems to me quite possible that the virus simply proceeds regardless of our non-pharmaceutical interventions. It just goes about its way, which makes it perfect for the state, because the state loves to take credit for things that are going to happen anyway. So I've given you guys examples like the National Traffic, Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They take credit for the fact that year over year, there's a 3.5% decline in fatalities per mile traveled. And they say, well, it's because we have a nice regulatory body like us. Do you know what the percent decline in fatalities per mile traveled was before we had that agency? 3.5%. Or the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, created at the very end of 1970 by Richard Nixon. They say we're responsible for the drop in accidents and fatalities at the workplace, because look at the trend downward over the ensuing quarter century. What they don't point out is that in the preceding quarter century, when there was no Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the rate of decline in those things was even greater than it was when we got an OSHA. And not to mention Black and Hispanic employment in the early to mid and late 1960s. This, of course, the state wants to take credit for that. Well, it was the Civil Rights Act of 1964. These were trends that were already at work. They were already at work. Now, you could say that the 1964 Act accelerated those trends. We could debate that. The point is, the trend was already there. Almost nobody is aware of that trend. Were you, even as a libertarian, were you aware that there was such a trend? Probably not. That's how good the state is at things like this. So yeah, they want to be able to say, we saved your lives, because look at this chart. What they cannot abide is a chart like Sweden's that looks exactly the same, but those people's savings weren't depleted and their businesses weren't destroyed. I have somebody who listens to me who, they have a business where they do horseback riding for children's birthday parties. And that business has been ruined because there are still people who panic even about being outdoors. And that's just destroyed them. And they loved it, and it's destroyed them. That kind of thing didn't happen in Sweden. It wasn't being done to people. They can't have that, because they need you to think they're responsible for the falling deaths. They want not only to be able to exercise power, but to be able to exercise it righteously. I'm saving lives, and my opponents are bringing about death. If they had their way, there'd be more death. No mention of all the other deaths being caused as side effects of the lockdowns. No mention whatsoever. Or the way, again, people's lives are destroyed in all kinds of other ways. Being alive is not the same thing as living. And I am astonished at how few people get that. I really thought there would be much more resistance to this. But people are just getting used to not living. I won't. I just won't. I'm prepared to resist. I'm prepared to, whatever it is we need to do, I'm prepared to do it. All right, I will have a couple of links up related to the stuff I've been talking about here at tomwoods.com/1706 for your intellectual pleasure. If you like and appreciate what I'm doing and you could use a haven of sanity, then come on over to the Supporting Listeners Group. The Tom Woods Show Elite is my private group, and the Supporting Listeners Program gives you a ridiculous number of bonuses and goodies for supporting the show. So go check that out at supportinglisteners.com, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.